Picture this. A soldier in a forward operating base, not peering through a tiny reinforced slit, but looking out a wide, crystal-clear window. Or a pilot, encased in a canopy that can withstand shrapnel but offers a completely unobstructed view of the sky. It's a scene I've written or imagined a dozen times for films, that classic sci-fi trope of invisible force fields.
And for me, you know, I've always been obsessed with military history. I think about the trade-offs soldiers have always had to make between protection and situational awareness. Hiding behind steel meant you were blind. Being able to see meant you were vulnerable. It's been the fundamental dilemma of armor for centuries.
Exactly. But what if that trade-off is about to become obsolete? What if the line between seeing and surviving simply disappears?
That is the question, and it's not science fiction anymore.
Welcome to the Glass Fortress. Today, we are pulling back the curtain on one of the most game-changing innovations in modern defense, transparent armor technology. We're talking about materials that are literally as clear as glass, but can be stronger than steel.
It's a mind-bending concept. Throughout this conversation, we're going to delve into the science of how it's even possible. We'll explore where this technology is heading, from armored vehicles to soldier visors, and we'll discuss the immense strategic implications with some of the leading minds in the field. So stick with us, because the future of warfare might just be completely transparent.
So let's start with the fundamental challenge. When I think of armor, I think of something opaque, solid, metal. When I think of a ceramic, I think of a dinner plate. How in the world do you take something like that and make it see-through?
It comes down to something surprisingly simple in concept, but incredibly difficult in practice. Perfection. At a microscopic level, that is. Any little impurity, any tiny air bubble or pore in the material will scatter light. It's that scattering that makes something opaque.
So the goal is to create a ceramic structure that is essentially flawless? No pores at all?
Virtually pore-free. You have to squeeze out every last imperfection. And that's where materials like yttrium oxide or yttria come in. It's this incredible refractory oxide.
Mm-hmm.
But getting it to cooperate is a whole other story.
Refractory meaning it can take a serious amount of heat, right?
A serious amount. We're talking a melting point of over 2,400 degrees Celsius. The early methods for making this stuff transparent involved firing it for extended periods at temperatures above 2,000 degrees. Think about that. That's hotter than most industrial furnaces can even reach.
Wow. So you're not just baking a ceramic, you're subjecting it to volcanic temperatures for hours on end?
Exactly. Just to create one transparent piece, and the reason you go to all that trouble for yttria is what it can do in the infrared spectrum. It transmits light at wavelengths that other materials just can't handle.
Which, for military applications, immediately makes me think of thermal imaging, heat signatures.
That's the one. Suddenly you have a material for a sensor dome on a missile that is incredibly durable, can handle the heat of supersonic flight, and can see the heat signature of its target with perfect clarity. It's also a great potential laser material, but that's a whole other rabbit hole.
But that process you described, the extreme heat and time, that sounds expensive and difficult to scale up. You can't exactly mass produce things that way.
You've hit on the next big leap. The process is evolving. Researchers, like the team at Livermore, started asking, what if we don't start with a conventional powder? What if we start smaller?
Nanoparticles.
Precisely. They're developing these wild new ways to synthesize the initial powders. One method is a combustion process. Mm. They literally burn an organic solid that has the elements they need, yttrium, aluminum, whatever, and then they collect the smoke.
Wait, hold on. They're making this advanced optical armor from smoke?
The smoke is the nanoparticles, perfectly formed spherical nanoparticles. You take that and you can then press it and heat it, a process called sintering, at much lower temperatures. And for shorter times, you get a better result, faster and cheaper.
It's incredible. It's like a form of high-tech alchemy. And by controlling the starting materials at that nano level, and I assume you can then start building more complex structures?
Now you're getting it. You can co-extrude different materials and center them into one solid, monolithic piece. Imagine an amplifier slab for a laser, where the outer edges are one material to act as cladding, and the center is doped with another material to create the laser light. All in one transparent block. That was impossible with old single crystal methods.
So you're creating these monolithic, multi-material blocks from Mayan, essentially dust and smoke. But what are the big names? I mean, what's the material that's actually the front runner to replace the thick, heavy-layered glass in an armored vehicle right now?
Well, one of the leading candidates has a name that sounds like it's straight out of science fiction, aluminum oxynitride. Most people just call it Aelon.
Aelon. Okay. And what makes it so special? Is it just the strength?
It's the strength combined with the clarity. We're talking about a transparent ceramic that has been tested to stop multi-hit threats from 50 caliber armor-piercing rounds.
Wait, a 50 cal? From a window?
A window, it's staggering to think about, and because it's so incredibly hard, it's also ridiculously scratch resistant. The same material has been looked at for things like the glass windows on supermarket barcode scanners because they just don't wear out.
That's amazing. So you have this one material that can stop a sniper round and also scan your groceries. But if it's that good, why is there even a conversation? Why isn't every military vehicle already outfitted with Aelon?
Cost is one thing, of course, scaling up production is another, but there's also a rival material that, in some ways, is even better. Magnesium aluminate spinel. Just spinel for short.
Okay, so what's Spinel's advantage? If Aelon is the tough one.
Spinel is the one with the better eyes, especially in the dark. It has superior optical transmission in the infrared spectrum. So think back to those heat-seeking sensor domes we were talking about.
Ah, so for an application where seeing a heat signature is the most critical thing, Spinel might actually be the better choice, even if it's not quite as tough.
Potentially, yes. It's also easier to work with. It can be processed at much lower temperatures than Aelon. The
Yeah.
problem, and the big problem for years was that nobody could figure out how to make it in large, high-quality pieces consistently.
So it was a lab curiosity more than a practical material?
For a long time, yes, the densification dynamics were poorly understood. It turns out the secret sauce they used to help the ceramic powder center together, a material called lithium fluoride, was also causing huge problems in the final stages. It was like a baker using a type of yeast that made the bread rise beautifully, but then left a terrible aftertaste.
Oh, wow. So the solution was also the poison?
In a way, yeah. The breakthrough came when researchers at the Naval Research Lab figured out that the problem wasn't the like itself, but how it was mixed in. Instead of just dumping it in, they developed a process to uniformly coat each tiny particle of spinel powder with the sintering it. It was a complete game changer.
So they're not just mixing ingredients, they're coating every single grain of flour before they bake the cake. That level of precision is hard to fathom.
It is, and it means they can use less of the additive, heat it faster, and get this highly transparent, reproducible result. It's what's finally allowing Spinel to move out of the lab and become a real contender for both military and commercial use.
And that level of atomic level control is what's so staggering. It's not just mixing and baking anymore. It's designing a material molecule by molecule. So you have these two titans, Aelon and Spinel, each with their own strengths. One is the brawler, the other is the sharpshooter with night vision.
That's a great way to put it. And it's not even about one winning over the other. The real revolution here is that engineers and designers now have a choice. They can tailor the armor to the mission. Is it for a forward observation post that needs maximum ballistic protection? Maybe that's Aelon. Is it for the sensor dome on a next generation drone? That's Spinel all day long.
It really brings us back to where we started, doesn't it? The end of that fundamental trade-off. For centuries, the choice was simple: be safe and blind, or be vulnerable and see. Now, the question isn't if you can see, but how you want to see. In what spectrum? For what purpose?
And it changes everything. Think about vehicle design. You're no longer designing a steel box with tiny slits cut into it. You can design for optimal visibility, for a 360-degree awareness that was, well, it was pure science fiction until now. The entire geometry of a cockpit or a command center can be reimagined.
I keep coming back to the human element, though. As a writer, that's where my head goes. What does that do to the psychology of a soldier inside that vehicle? To be able to see an incoming threat with perfect clarity, to watch it coming right for you, but to have to trust, completely trust, that this invisible wall will hold. That's a different kind of bravery.
That's a really interesting point. Does it create a sense of omnipotence, or does it create a new kind of anxiety? Knowing you're a target, seeing it all play out, it's a profound psychological shift from being buttoned up inside a dark, rumbling metal shell.
Exactly. It's the difference between knowing there's a monster outside the door and watching it press its face against the glass. And I guess the one question that still lingers for me is, what's next? We've talked about stopping high-caliber rounds, but warfare is changing. What happens when the threat isn't a projectile, but a high-energy laser?
And that's the next frontier. Some of these materials, because of their optical purity, actually have applications in lasers. So the question of how they stand up to them. That's a whole other arms race. That's probably already happening in labs we don't even know about.
It's just, it's a remarkable journey. From opaque metal plates to smoke and dust being forged into these flawless, transparent shields. It really feels like we're watching the future get built, one nanoparticle at a time.
It certainly does. A future that is, in every sense of the word, more transparent. Well, that is all the time we have for today. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Glass Fortress.
It's been a fascinating conversation. Join us next time as we explore the world of autonomous swarming drones. Until then, stay curious.
And stay safe.